Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Columbus Funny Bones, September 27th through the 29th, D.C. in October. I apologize for all the cancellations, people. We're a production for Trip Flip. This week's episode, my nana, Helen Hobson. Go to BurtBurtBurt.com.
This is the BurtCast.
Joey.
Uh-huh.
Hey, let me call you back. I'm starting a podcast with my nana.
Okay, love you.
All right, bye. All right, so there's two open mics. Nana, are you talking?
No, not yet.
Okay, I can hear you perfectly. And we're getting levels on everyone. So this is a podcast. All we do is we just have a casual conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we normally would, except normally everyone else would be talking.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it would be great to kind of like establish Hobson history. And you're the record holder. You're the matriarch.
Well, how about that?
So how old are you? Can I ask, you can ask that. There's a certain age where that turns a corner, right?
How old am I?
Yeah.
I'm 90. What am I? 92.
92. Guys, there's all right. Listen more. I'm gonna try throwing some softballs. Dave, if you want to be on the podcast, you got to talk into a microphone. No, talk, please. There's two open microphones.
Right.
Anyone,
uh-huh,
please grab one and
uh-huh
jump in
right
at any time.
Uh-huh. Lisa, your brownies were delicious.
Oh, thank you.
Okay,
oh,
Lisa, just, into the microphone. Into the microphone.
I don't want to be on.
Okay,
on.
Bill, you hold that
you,
one.
Hen.
We just had a wonderful, wonderful supper, and Gigi did all the cooking.
Shopping.
Yeah, I was about to say, she didn't look like she cooked much of it.
And Lisa brought the dessert, and the dessert was just delicious. But it was, I was starting to panic because there wasn't anybody.
You were wondering
anybody
where Bert was.
Yeah, I was doing a podcast.
No, before that, we had a lot of this food. She got all this food, and it was nobody here, and I thought, oh my goodness, what will I do next week with all this food? But it was good. It was very good. Wasn't good, Bert?
It was fantastic, man.
It really was. Oh, your mother, she's wonderful.
She is great.
She is a great woman, and we took such a nice tour of Bryn Mawr list yesterday.
You did?
Oh, yes, we did. We went down we went down Morris Avenue three times.
Oh, was my mom was driving?
Your mom was driving.
That makes sense.
But she's so good. She is. We Googled, and then we finally found it. But
they Googled.
What do you think?
What do you think about technology today?
It's so far ahead of me. I do regret one thing, that I didn't tune in when I first. When I retired first time. You know, I retired three times in my life.
No, I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. When I first retired, I think I was 70. And I should have tuned in then. I should have gotten a computer and really got with it because it's marvelous.
It is. Do you go online and Google stuff much?
No, only with your mother.
Mom, tell them about the cell phone.
Oh, my goodness.
How many cell phones have you had, Mom?
I've had two.
Had three.
Oh, have I?
Yeah, you had three.
Oh, I've had
what
three.
What happened to the first cell phone?
You dropped it
in your Coke.
Oh,
Christmas
okay.
Day when we gave it to you, right?
Okay, that's right. I did. Yeah.
Wait, on Christmas Day, you got a cell phone and you dropped it in a Coke.
So that it really never worked. But I kept it because when I would turn it on, it would tell me what day it was and the date.
Oh.
And the time.
That's what you use your cell phone for.
But then the second cell phone,
I lost it.
And I started to look for it and I couldn't find it. But I found I, I don't know. I was in my closet one night, and I felt this heavy thing on one of the pair of slacks in the closet, and I thought, oh, I wonder what that is. Well, I put my hand in there, and there was the old cell phone.
Yeah, but, Mom, you've lost the third cell phone. You found the second cell phone, so at least we, you know.
Yeah, we're
shooting what?
We're in line.
Far here?
Yeah, we're in line anyway.
So, wait, do you remember a time without phones?
Can I remember what?
A time without phones?
Oh, sure.
Really?
Oh, sure.
What was that like?
Oh, you mean when I was young?
When you were a kid, do you remember getting, like, your first phone?
Oh.
In the house. Well, yeah, like a phone. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
How differently did you describe phone, Mom? Yeah.
Cell phone?
No, like, do you remember the first landline, the first cell phone?
Okay. Yes, I do. But I don't remember when we got it. We've always had a phone.
Oh, really?
But when I was young, there used to be a party line, and you got a cheaper rate if you had a party line.
So you shared it with houses in the neighborhood?
And you would share it with houses in the neighborhood. But we never did that because my father had a little business, and he wanted to keep the line open, you know, for calls.
Yeah, so and that was that Hobson and Owen?
No, Daddy.
That was Daddy.
Higgins was a mechanic.
He was an automobile mechanic.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And anyway, we always did have a private phone, but the phones were great. They really were. They were very. The phones were very good.
So now, how far removed from what level? How far away was Daddy Higgins from, say, Ireland or England or wherever?
Like, well, he was born in this country.
But his parents were not, right?
But his parents were not. That's correct.
Really? So you're second generation?
Is
that second generation?
Yeah, that's second generation.
Yeah, that's second generation. First generation. Yeah. Do you remember racism against Irish people?
Pardon?
Do you remember racism against Irish people?
Do I remember?
Like prejudice towards Irish people?
No. Catholics.
Catholics?
No.
Talking to the mic, guys. Please, everyone, please be a part of this interview.
I think Bert's question is, when you were younger, was it difficult for the Irish Catholics to get jobs? Were the English Protestants a little tough on you guys?
I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, Daddy was a mechanic, and then...
And actually, see, Haverford was sort of a Quaker town, and it was. They had meeting houses. They had their own meeting houses, and
really?
We had our own church. And but you know, we got along fine. It was fine.
Now, who was the first of you guys to date an Italian chick? Was it Dave?
Wow, my wife's Italian.
Oh wait, my wife is Selmayr, baby.
I got a giddy
over here. Giddy. The best half. The big Italian story in our family was Salucci. That was the big deal.
Really? What's that?
That was a generation above, and John Salucci was dating or married Edna Hobson, and that was
dad's first cousin.
Yeah, that was like. That was like in Alabama, that would be like interracial back in a few years.
Really?
Generations. Yeah, it was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a big deal.
And did that have any effect on you guys? Did you guys remember that at all?
No, we just knew Salucci as this guy that had hair all over his body. That was living down at the Great White's house. Yeah. That was
the Salucci. Great Whites were our two aunts who lived
aunts.
at the end, and they had right around the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There, John.
Yeah, come on. There's another John, there's an open John. Mic. John, hop on.
What about jump in, man? Come on, let's go.
So this is.
If ever I would leave you.
talk into the microphone, Sinatra. Okay. So wait. So. What are you doing?
John. Is it on?
Is this on?
Yeah, they're all on. They're okay. All on, guys.
We're all on.
Yeah, there's no speaker. It just goes right into a recorder.
Is it on? Okay.
Yeah, it's on, Dave.
David.
You know, ultimately, this is where I got my personality, is these people.
A vodcast.
A what?
Vodcast. A vodcast? Is that with vodka?
No, it's a video.
Oh.
Bert, I was going to... Hey, Bert.
Yeah.
Could sell. Okay?
Yeah,
we're
think
do
so.
A podcast today. Everyone light up. Okay.
So the Great Whites live down. Let's start at the very beginning. How did you and
Doc?
How did you two meet?
I'll tell you how we met. I was working in the clinic at Bremer Hospital, and so was he. He was working in dental clinic, and I was working in the GI clinic. And I used to see this tall man come in at lunchtime. Around at lunchtime every day, he ate lunch at the hospital.
Yeah. Does he have hair at this time?
Did he have hair at this time?
Yeah.
No, he did not.
So he started losing his hair young.
Yes.
Okay.
But I don't know. I admired him. I thought he looks pretty nice. Oh, well, anyway, I didn't do much about it until one day the doctor that was taking care of him called me and said, there's one thing I want you to do, and I want you to do a gastric analysis on Abe Hobson. And I thought, oh. I said, and at the time he was wearing a black overcoat, and it was very long. And I used to think that long overcoat, he looked so funny in it. And I said, oh, is he the guy with the big, long, black overcoat that comes in at lunchtime? He said, yeah, he is. So I said, yeah, I'll do a gastric
analysis.
I'll do a gastric analysis on him. So
a raincoat in
him. Anyway, I did. I injected the hose, and down it went.
Wait,
and
where did that hose go?
Nana, slow down. Where did that hose go, Nana?
Up the butt?
Into his stomach, I hope.
Wait.
They were doing a gastric analysis.
Where does John, you're a doctor? Where does that hose begin?
They did it upper.
Oh, it went in his mouth.
It was an upper.
Okay, so it
they
goes in his mouth.
They said, look out the window.
Hey, look up. He went, huh? Okay.
So anyway, the day that I did that, he said to me, when we finished it, he said, now, can I take you out to lunch?
I like the way you work.
You really know how to show a guy a good time. You know what I'm saying?
How about we do some of this on Friday time?
So I said, oh, no. I can't go out on the street in uniform. So he said, oh, okay. So, however, we did the gastric analysis. And it came out negative or positive. No, negative. It was negative.
Negative, positive,
negative.
I'll tell you, it was at the time of one of the wars. The war after the Second World War.
Oh, Korea.
Yeah, it was the Korean War.
No,
yeah.
That wouldn't have been Korea.
No.
World War II.
Because
this is the 40s.
Yeah,
you were married in 46.
We were here living at Highfield at the Korea War because he was drafted in the Korean War and Major Baker got him out of the
okay.
Long line of draft dodgers.
Okay, yeah.
Wait, was anyone in this family in the war?
So anyway,
John, you were?
No.
Yeah. Oh! The only one that volunteered. 40 boys and only one.
I had a fight with Peter one time after mass, but that was the only war I was in. And I let Pete ask. He says, I said, Pete, I can beat you up with my hands behind my back. And I got him in a scissors in my legs, and he was going. It was in the living room.
Yeah.
I almost hit him in the piano, and I had his head between my legs, and I'm choking him. Dad comes walking through. He says, what the hell are you guys doing? I said, I am beating him up without my hands. That was the only time I ever beat Pete.
Okay. So this is right around World War II. The GI came back positive, negative.
So, yeah. So, however, it means he didn't have to go in the service. His brother was in the service at the time. He had an older brother. That was Uncle Jack. He was in the service. Matter of fact, Uncle Jack was in the South Pacific at the time. But anyway, that went on. Oh, that went on for about maybe 2 months or so. So then finally one night around 9 o'clock, he called my house. I lived on Barrett Avenue then, and he called my house, and he said, I'm going to Martini's for spaghetti. after he said, I have one more patient. And he said, I didn't have dinner tonight. Will you join me? So I said, yeah, I'll join you. So.
Just don't wear that overcoat.
Yeah. So, however, he arrives and we go out, had to martinis for the spaghetti. And it was very nice. We just talked about hospital stuff. Then he asked me where I went to school. Then he asked me a little bit about my parents and a little bit about my siblings. And so then I said, well, now tell me about yours. And he said, oh, I don't want to. I want you to meet them. So I said, oh. So he said, so I want to see you Saturday night and we'll stop by and meet my family. So I said, oh, okay. So, all right. Saturday night came along and he said, when he stopped to pick me up, he said, we're going to a party tonight in Wayne. And he said, this party's in a garage. He said, I think you're overdressed. So I said, well, I'm not changing my clothes. This is it for tonight. Okay. So he said, but first we're going to meet my parents. So that's why I got all dressed up, because I was going to meet his parents.
Yeah.
So I went into the house. It was, what was it? What was the number on that house? It was, 321.
321.
321 Lancaster Avenue, and his mother was sitting on the couch with a highball in her hand.
A cocktail.
Okay. And this is at 9 o'clock at night.
I'm trying to figure out what the weird part of it is.
And then Kathleen.
She was still sitting.
This is a Saturday night at 9 o'clock, and she's got a drink in her hand.
She's got a drink in her hand.
Oh, I keep this heathen.
And Kathleen, his sister.
Oh.
She came running down the stairs.
Wait, can we go around the room and predict if Kathleen was positive or negative to you when she first met you?
When she first met me, she was pretty good. She was pretty good.
Really?
Yeah, Frances wasn't too good, though. Frances didn't buy me at first.
Really?
But anyway, Kathleen was running the vacuum cleaner. And she was, yep, yeah, that's right.
They had a red carpet, and it showed all the dirt. So she would have the carpet. She had the vacuum cleaner right beside. She would just run the carpet. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It was a Bissell. That's right. One that wasn't an electric. Yeah. And then Frances, I didn't meet Frances that night. I don't know where she was. But I met Pop Pop. He was very nice. He was great, because he was a very nice man. And however, that night, so Abe said, well, we can't stay too long. We're on our way to a party. And Pop Pop said, well, Helen, you don't want to spend too much time with this crowd any time at all. So, however, I left. And then we just started dating and dating and dating. And Abe says to me, let's put an end to this. I said, okay. I said, what do you want to do about it? And he said, I want to get married. And I said, who, to me?
I want to have kids until hair changes, hairstyles change. I want to have, would you have gotten into this if you knew you're going to have 9 kids?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
I did want a lot of children.
So was that agreed upon? Did you guys talk about that before?
Yes.
At any time?
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did. Nice. I said, I love children. And I said, yes, I do. I want to have a good sized family. He said, that's all right with me. So I said, okay.
You did well past that. 9 kids. Now, I'm trying to set some of the story for anyone who's listening, who's obviously like trying to figure everything out. So, you guys meet, you go out on your first date, you go to a party in a barn.
Garage.
In a garage. Do you guys kiss on the first date?
Oh, Jesus. Bird.
What? Why can't we ask this?
Nana, I think you should.
Yeah.
Should,
absolutely. Did you guys kiss on the first date?
No.
Second date?
No.
Third date?
No. No.
Mom, did you play hard to get?
Yes, I did.
What did you? You played.
I really did play hard to get.
Really?
Because you weren't easy, I would say.
A priest told me. He said, "Make him sing for his supper."
A priest told me, "Make him sing." And did, I guess he sang?
He really couldn't sing.
So I guess he didn't need supper.
Somewhere along the line, he got supper. So,
he went family style.
You're looking at supper.
He got
here,
breakfast.
So. Okay, so... I'm thrown off guard, sorry. So you guys have your first kiss.
Uh-huh.
The first 2 months of dating, 3 months, 4 months of dating.
Right.
Okay, and then how soon from the first kiss did he ask you to marry him?
From the first kiss? Oh, I can't remember.
Like how old? Dave. I can't.
Tongue?
Shh, let her answer.
Mom, the first kiss. First kiss.
Yeah,
French?
Okay.
French? French kiss?
What's a French kiss?
Honey, come here.
I'm sweating.
Well, being a dentist...
Mom, put it this way. If I was going to kiss you, I wouldn't French kiss you.
Okay. Being a dentist, he was checking your molars.
Oh. Oh. She's
So
this is awful. This is worse than state boards.
Mom,
worse than skateboards.
State board.
State boards.
Bert. Okay, Bert. Clean it up.
And then
right?
Skateboards every once in a while. She's known as a skateboard king around here. She'll
Mom, Bert
right.
lives in L.A. You know, he needs to clean it up.
1968, 69, 60.
So now this is at this time this is the who was
well this
the,
is 1947 they got married.
Okay,
so
47.
1947 to 55.
I would imagine this is a fairly undeveloped area of Philadelphia at the time.
No. Oh no.
That was relayed to us is that when Mom and Dad got married, they lived over the dental office. At 27 South.
Yep, I remember her telling us that. You guys lived at the dental office. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that was close enough for her mother. But in 1950,
Bryn Mawr.
When they moved here into Wayne, she told her family, and her mother said, "Well, we'll try to visit as often as we can." I mean, that was, I'll give you an idea how parochial it was, is that people in Haverford didn't come out to Wayne. Wayne was like us going to Lancaster.
Really?
Really. It was a whole very, very different area. Yeah.
Now you guys move out to Wayne, mm-hmm. and you buy this property at the time?
Right.
Now how many acres was that?
Eight.
8 acres?
Mm-hmm.
And it
Don't
was...
tell the Hurleys, because we told them we bought the golf course too.
Yeah.
We told them we had about 300 acres.
Was... So 8 acres. It was that house I have such distinct memories of that house. And like in the most vivid way possible, and I always wondered if the younger cousins remember the house as much as I do. It was so, it was 3 stories. Yeah. The third floor was almost like a dorm room.
It was like a dormitory.
It was a dormitory mm-hmm. on the third mm-hmm. floor, and that mm-hmm. was so you guys could take in kids from Villanova or Malvern.
Initially.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were how many bedrooms?
8.
There were 8 bedrooms.
3 on the third floor, 5 on the second.
1, 2, 3, 4.
4 on the second. 5. There was 5.
No, nah, because the bedroom off of Mom and Dad's room.
But there was one over the kitchen.
It was a parlor.
One over the kitchen.
5.
Yeah.
That's what I said. 8.
8.
There was 3 on the third.
Okay, gotcha.
There was 8 bedrooms.
There was there was a huge, gorgeous balcony, I think it's somewhere.
The front porch.
Yeah. And then you had a pool table up on something.
The pool room was on top of the
porch.
There
was a pool room. I mean, it was one of the. I'll take pictures of this house. I'm sure they're in this here somewhere, and I'll post them on Twitter when I post this. And it's just so you can paint a picture, because I remember it as in like almost going to Camelot. Like it was. So
you gotta remember now. The pool table was in a room. In order to get to the pool table, you had to go through my mother and father's bedroom.
Yes.
And the bathroom.
Yeah.
your uncle Hob, his buddies, Bob Palmer, Rich McCunney, would all play pool.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd have to, as they're leaving, say goodnight to my mother and my father.
Who were in bed.
They're in bed, and they're playing pool. It was the most bizarre room in the world.
You had to go through the bathroom to go through the bedroom.
You had to go through the bathroom. Unless you went through the window.
Did you guys build that house?
No.
It was here before you bought it?
It was here. Yeah, we bought it.
You bought it in 1950 for $20,000.
1950.
For 25.
From Mr.
Eight
Plant.
Acres. For 20.
$5,000.
$20,000.
Was it 20?
20, yeah. I have the deed.
Yeah, Dave was
Oh,
there.
Do you?
Oh, my gosh.
You know, he's a lawyer, too.
No, at the time you had Javi and my mom.
Yeah, John was just born.
Excuse me. Not your mother. It was Gigi.
Gigi.
Sis, the apple of my father's eye. Gigi was more than a sister, more than an older sibling. Gigi was an inspiration to us all.
So you had three kids. You moved into this huge house. Did you take boarders initially?
No.
No?
No. I didn't. We didn't take boarders in until, was it when Hobbs started at Villanova?
No, it was before. Hobbs was probably just starting in Malvern.
Oh, okay. And we took boys in from Villanova.
I was 10. Have you been starting?
Okay.
Okay.
So wow, did you guys have
that.
People that worked on the? You had to have people that worked on the.
Yeah, we had a couple that we had a barn. There was a barn on the property. That we used, we were supposed to use it as a garage, but it would be too far. If you come in at night, it's too far to go down to put the car in the barn because you had to walk back to the house. And it wasn't really that far, but it was just that it was dark and it wasn't. And we were lazy, you know.
What was?
But Eddie was a black man that worked for Abe. He would clean the offices, and he would also run the, at that time, when Abe would make a denture, he would have to send it in town to a lab to get it made, you know. Yeah. So he thought, well, why don't I fix the cellar up in this building that I'm in down in Bryn Mawr? And make a lab out of it and get a lab technician, and then Eddie wouldn't have to go run back and forth all the time. So then when Eddie lost the job of running back and forth to Philadelphia with the teeth in the morning, he started to do stuff for me up at the house and also start to, really as a chauffeur, the children. Because people were in school now,
yeah,
and he was really helping me as much as he was helping Abe.
Now, were you guys considered wealthy at this time?
No,
no, but you have 8 acres and a chauffeur. Just for the record, I don't want you coming out to my house.
We had higher aspirations. Okay.
Yeah.
No, we just budgeted our money.
Really?
Oh yeah. That's what you do.
That doesn't explain the helicopters bringing sand.
Yeah, no.
When
did we start purchasing helicopters and flying them for recreation? For the record, that's something wealthy people do.
We weren't rich because we didn't have a pool.
With one of the oldest country clubs in the country.
Oh, and also to get back to this Aeronomic deal, one of the main reasons that we joined Aeronomic. It was how you got referrals.
Oh, for dentistry?
For dentistry, yeah. Because you see, Abe was not a medical doctor. Now, the medical doctors were doing just fine because they were referring each other their doctors. Like one doctor, if he wanted a cardiologist, he referred it. He would find a cardiologist for his patient and he would refer it. But, you know, the dentists were just sort of out of line. So Abe said, well, I think I'll learn to play golf, and I'll join a golf club.
So he could get people.
So, yeah, and he did. We did get referrals.
Oh, nice. So when did he start purchasing helicopters and flying helicopters?
Oh, that was, oh, Lordy, that's way down the road. Well, that was another venture that he got into. with three other doctors at Bryn Mawr. They bought this club. It was like a, it started out as an athletic club, but it sort of ended up as a general family club. They had a pool and they had an ice skating rink.
And a golf course.
And the golf course was put in. Well, yeah, it did have a golf course, but not when they bought it. They put the golf course in. And the three other doctors, it wasn't making enough money, so they wanted to get out of it. So Abe knew they weren't happy with it. So I guess they had it for about, where's G? Yeah, how long did they have General Washington?
I started skating when I was 7.
Yeah.
I think that's when they bought it.
Yeah.
I stopped skating when I was 13.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know that that's when Dad, I think Dad sold it around that time too.
Yeah.
And then the Go Patrol was 62. I remember that. I don't know how I remember that, but I remember that. And he started the Atlantic Go Patrol when they sold Valley Forge because he had to do something with the helicopters. It was the Atlantic Go Patrol. So that, I know that was 62.
Okay. So it was about 66 he got into the helicopter.
No, I was 7 in what, 48? No, I was born in 48, so he had it about 5 or 6 years.
Oh, right. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, talking to a mic.
One of the unusual things about General Washington was the guy that was the majordomo of General Washington was Ed McMahon.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Ed McMahon, when he was a young guy, was in Philadelphia. And a good friend of Dad's. Who was the friend of Dad that introduced him to Ed? It wasn't Bibarosh, it was another guy. But as the story goes,
John Facenda?
No, it wasn't John. It was somebody else. But he was a good friend. What was his name?
There's a parish too.
In the microphone, please.
I can't remember. I'm just making hand gestures.
Anyhow, it was interesting. Ed would do parties at the house, and he and Bill would do skits for the guests.
Really?
Yeah. He would take him in the den. Everyone's in the living room. Ed would take him into the den. And say, okay, Bill, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to say, hey, your hair looks thin. And Bill's supposed to say, he says, oh, who wants fat hair? Do you remember that? I remember that. And they would go out and they'd do it in front of the fireplace in the living room and everyone laughed. And then he'd go back in and then make another line. It was interesting to watch.
Really?
Watch that dynamic go on. And yeah. he was a pretty nice guy. His kids were nice.
Yeah.
We lived, Claudia, it was Claudia.
Yeah.
And Linda and Michael.
Claudia, Jeff, Linda, and Michael.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they were nice. And then all of a sudden, we're over there at their house, and some guy from New York came in. It was when he was getting interviewed for...
Johnny Carson?
Yeah. Didn't know who it was. Very wow. And we were asking, we were Mike's age, and Mike says, I don't know. Some guy from New York's coming down. I think we're moving to New York. And that's what that was all about. It was kind
really?
Of watch that, yeah.
Holy cow. Now, Nana, if you could go back to one, like, do you have like a recollection when you look back at the family and the house and the and living here, that like one day where you're like, that was a really great day. Like, is there a day that sticks out where you're like,
in my mind, a great day in my life?
Like
my birthday. January 11th,
1963.
Like, I remember catching fireflies out here with Jenny, Katie, Abe, Maggie, Annie, and when we were kids, and I just distinctly remember where you had all the trees. I think they were like, they weren't ficuses. They were like those trees that circled that area.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yeah. I remember catching fireflies out there, and I always think back to that place. I remember being in the third floor in the pool hall when Katie told me that Luke Skywalker's father was Darth Vader, and I was like, I don't see it. Like I have distinct memories. I remember Dave and Dave and Bones holding Abe down and tickling him until he peed his pants in the room where the piano was. Like, I have distinct memories about that house, but like what I remember laughing, and Abe looked at me and he goes, I would laugh, you're next. But I thought I was immune because I lived in Florida, and then they did it to me. And so, do you have any distinct memories that you look back to, like where the whole family, because it's a Sunday or 4th of July, where the whole family was here and everyone, like the pictures that you see in there that I look back and I go, oh, that looks great. Like Hig was around. And mm-hmm. Do you have any memories like that?
Oh, yeah. Nana.
John.
A lot of memories.
The last
like that.
Party at the big house was Mike and Ann's wedding.
Yeah. Yes.
And it was a fabulous party. Do you remember mm-hmm. that?
I do.
Tell them about
that. Uh-huh. Yeah, that was great.
In September mm-hmm. 1980.
Yeah. Mom, remember 4th of July 1976?
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Oh, Michelle, tell them about that one.
No, John. Michelle.
John, this was your baby. So, John, tell him.
This is when I was bringing Michelle home to meet my family. The girls were living down the corner.
Yeah,
they had built their house.
So, Fran, just for the record, the people that you heard earlier, Doc's sisters, Frances and Kathleen,
the great
remain
whites.
Unmarried, lived mm-hmm. down in the corner. Cassie was married.
Yeah.
John Hargan. I remember that. Yeah, the beard. I'll tell you later. They lived down the Great Whites is what they called them, and they lived down in the corner.
Right.
And you would have like New Year's Eve or Christmas Eve dinner down there, and then come up here for Christmas. But they stayed down there, and they all lived on the same property. They lived on, I guess, Doc built a house down.
Hold on, real quick. Referring that was going down the house.
Down to the house.
You're going down the house. Going to see the girls? No, it was down the house.
Down the house.
Okay. And then prison, when you were a little kid, was you got assigned to do a weeding project for Kathleen down the house.
Kathleen.
That was worse than the rock garden.
Who we didn't mind anything weeding with Kathleen because we had heard that she had buried $100 bills around the house and that she forgot where they buried them. And so we would, Abe was like, this place is a gold mine. They're all over this place. So, 4th of July, 1976.
It was 1976. It was the 200th
bicentennial
anniversary of the 4th of July.
Yeah.
And Gerald Ford was president. Bill and Jack Carr and myself were performing nightly at the St. David's Inn.
Yeah.
In Radnor. And a friend of ours... we were Bill Figenshu. His dad said, you know, and he's sitting there by the pool, and he set me up. It was so obvious, but I fell for it. Hook, line, and sinker. He says, I'm looking for a place. I'm bringing in a whole troupe to play for the president from Erie, Pennsylvania. They're the Pennsylvania marching band from the reserve. But I just need a place where they can shower and get a breakfast, a hot meal before they show up to Valley Forge Park. John, you live near Valley Forge Park. I said, yeah. I was at my... Mom has a house over in Wayne, not too far. He goes, man, it'd be really, I'm just looking for a spot. So I fell and I said, well, let me call Valley Forge Military Academy, see if we can get them to provide the showers. And we'll provide breakfast up at our house. And then they can go off onto the band to play for Gerald Ford, who was flying in to be at Valley Forge Park. So that night, it rained all night. We're playing at the St. David's Inn, and I've got, you know, Mom, Cassie, and Fanny. They're making eggs. They're doing all sorts of souffles. And I'm introducing Michelle to the family. And so Michelle's going to bring... I'm bringing Michelle into the house, but I said, bring cups for the coffee, because we're going to make a lot of coffee. So it happens. The rain stops. Works out perfectly. They come in. They have a bus, and they can't get up our driveway, so they go to the military academy, take showers. They walk up from the road. We park the bus on the road. They walk up, and we have out on the patio and on the porch a complete breakfast. The girls working all the time, and Kathleen and Frances and Mom are in the kitchen. And Kathleen goes, where the hell's this Michelle? Michelle overslept. So the coffee's ready. There's no Michelle. We don't have any cups. Kate says, I'll take care of this. So she goes down the house and comes up with about
four bags in her hand, and it's all her good china. Her good china. I mean, she brought her good china up here, so she's pouring coffee to these guys in good china. I mean, I don't know how good this china is, but it was her good china.
Yeah.
And she said, "Watch that. That's good china." Okay. So, don't drink too fast. That's good china. And as soon as she comes up, Michelle comes running in, and she's got all the cups. And Kate has no time for this. I already brought the good china. So, the end of this was is that there was two ends. One is that the band said, "Hey, this is really great. Thanks. We really appreciate breakfast. Would you like us to play a song?" And so they went out, got their instruments set up on the yard, and they played Stars and Stripes.
Yeah, but John, this is at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Mount Pleasant wakes up. Mount Pleasant, everyone's coming out. You know, look at this. It's a 50-piece band.
It's a 50-piece band.
Oh, yeah, it's a big band.
Oh.
Mount Pleasant? Yeah. Yes, Mount Pleasant. This is our home.
This is a 50.
Our homeland, Mount Pleasant. Yeah. The other part of it was is that as they left, one guy came up, and he said, I don't know why he told me. He says, you know, we go to a lot of these things, and we always get coffee in styrofoam cups. Thanks for sending us the good china. That's true. I said, "Oh, you're welcome." We planned it that way.
So then, and then you guys, did you guys have? Go ahead, Michelle. Wait, Michelle.
And I want you to guess who washed all the good china.
Oh, I bet it was you.
That was your punishment. And Kate says, "In order to redeem yourself, you know." Yeah, but it was. That was a nice event. Everyone went over to Joe. Drove a group of folks over to. Valley Forge to hear the president speak.
Joe Bones.
Our political mascot. And we went to bed.
You realize the one person that's going to be through the roof that he was not at this podcast is Joe Bones. I'm going to have to do a solo podcast in Oldsmar with him. Paul, keep it. All right, Nan. So I guess we're at almost an hour. What is there any stories you'd like to tell us?
Mike. Not you.
No. Any is there any stories? Is there any does anyone have any questions? Anything that they know is a good story that they'd like to hear Nana tell?
Oh, I think one of the cutest stories is when the night Al came to ask Doc for Gigi's hand.
Really?
And I was in Beach Haven at the time, and
Al's my dad.
And Al's your dad.
No, for the I know you know.
Oh yeah.
I mean, for the people listening.
It's okay.
Go ahead, Nan.
So anyway, and I knew it was coming. I mean, I knew it was going to happen that Al was going to ask Doc, and so I thought, well, it's 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. 9 o'clock. I guess he's already asked. I'll call G and see. So I did call, and I don't know whether G remembers this or not, but I was down there with the boys at Beach Haven, and my mother and Kathleen were there. So I called home, and they said to whoever it was said to me, "Oh, Dad was in the den when Al came, and they were watching a baseball game, but Dad fell asleep, so he never asked him."
He never asked him.
He never asked him now, and because I remember there was a ring involvement, and I think it was Gigi said, "Oh, the next day I called G, and I said, tell me, did Al get to Dad last night?" And she said, "No, he fell asleep, Mom. So we're going to try to do it tonight." So. However, I don't know who it was got in touch with Al and said, "You have to do it over again tonight." And Al said, "No, I'm not doing it tonight again." If I'm going to ask him early in the morning.
So he stays awake.
So, did he ask you early in the morning, Al?
Dad, you've been on two of these. Do not come in and get on a mic if you're going to talk. I know, but everyone's going to go, what did he say? Yeah. You don't remember?
Bert, I think we woke him up.
It'll reach.
Come on, Al.
Here. Dad?
Yes?
You don't need to yell into the mic. They can hear you right
last
in their ears.
Last time you told me I didn't speak loud enough.
No, it's fine.
It's frustrating, isn't it?
You're going to be an old senile like that someday, Bert.
What, like him? Oh, you should have seen us driving over here. It was like the Cannonball Run, but drunk. It was horrible. Just everyone was sober, but it was like you guys were drunk. The two of them are yelling at each other. He keeps grasping. Oh, there's a car. And she almost did kill us on a bridge.
Bert, you should have seen me driving these two home from Will and Alex's wedding.
Oh, really?
In Florida.
Who? Yeah. Wait, my dad?
I was the designated driver.
Oh, I had to drive one time from Miami at like 2 in the morning with them. And he says, he gets on the interstate in Miami and he goes, don't worry, buddy, I got it. You've been on stage all night. I got this one. He gets on and he gets in the carpool lane on accident and he can't get over. And he starts going, God, I just can't get over. Oh, my God. We're all going to die. He's got the wheel in his hands. We're all going to die. And we're all stop, stop, stop. So then we pull over. I go, Dad, I'm going to give you a Xanax. So I give him a Xanax. He goes in the back seat. All of a sudden you hear an exhale when it kicks in. He goes, oh, is this what regular people feel like? Oh. So he did ask her to marry her.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is anyone want to chime in? Anyone have any good questions I want to ask Nana? Where's John?
Oh, here, I got a quick G&L okay. story.
Okay.
So Gigi, G&L. G and who?
Paul.
G&L. Gigi's room, because again, the only girl, the apple of dad's eye. Sis had a room that was really set off. You go up the back steps and Sis's room, although the bathroom was never completely functional, had her own bathroom. And a nice room, but her room faced out on the back side of the house and this big circle where we did park all the cars, not in the barn.
Billy, for the record.
What?
It was the maid's room.
It was the maid's room.
Thank you.
Well, in the early part, we did have...
Wasn't she the maid?
No, back then...
They made
back then, well, no.
John said, wasn't she wasn't
gotta remember, the maid? Hold on. You're missing one ingredient. Our neighborhood was Mount Pleasant, which at the time was just a black neighborhood. Or when I was a little kid, they were still colored people.
Thank you, Paula.
Well, they were colored people.
They're still colored, Bill.
So,
guys, I do not represent these views.
We had no neighbors. As little kids, we lived out in Wayne. We were the Boonies. We had the military academy, the golf course, and the black kids.
Yeah.
We'd hang out with the black kids, which was kind of
why we're all Democrats.
Yeah. And we did. We did vote Democratic. But the funny thing about G&L was, you know, in what Doc installed in Gigi's room was a set of floodlights. And the floodlights would just boom, like 18 floodlights would shoot down there. And Al, your dad had a little Volkswagen, and rumors were that there was a lot of thing, a lot of contact in that Volkswagen. You'd be surprised. So he would circle around.
I was making him sing for his supper. Remember?
So,
but your nickname was a la carte.
Dad, my dad would get to bed early, which we've all adopted that habit. But he would call us. He would say, "Is the car there?" Yeah. All right, go into the room. And one of our jobs would be to go into Gigi's room and start hitting the floodlights on and off, on and off. Last call, Al. Last call.
But sadly, that induced strokes in him.
And yeah. Then, wait a minute. To add insult to injury, Jerry, our third or fourth three-legged German Shepherd, mm-hmm, kept biting Dad in the ass. Every time,
really?
Dad wouldn't get out of the car. He couldn't get out of the car because the minute Dad would get out of the car to walk to the door, walk me to the door, Jerry'd start jumping all over him, biting him in the ass.
Yeah, Bert.
Yeah, my dad.
Yeah, Bert.
Okay. Yeah, Dad.
Yeah. Now, real quick, how much did you pay for Beach Haven?
No, that I don't. That I don't know.
You got it free?
Yeah. Well, no, that was the girls. The story.
Wait, what are you
jackpot
laughing about?
Yeah.
I got it. He goes,
well,
got it free.
We mooched. Yeah. Sort of got it free. Well, what did you hear the story of that, Michelle?
It was a net or something.
Ma,
saw how much money Jack was making and wanted him to spend the money on something worthwhile. So she had Jack, who was not married,
besides
had no
booze.
Children, buy Beach Haven.
Yeah.
And that would have been...
1935. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was before the war.
Yeah. Up next, I'll bring movies. The movies we used to do...
Into the mic, John.
Dad had a Bell and Hal, and so whenever anyone went down to the shore, they would photograph in movies people driving up, getting out of the car, waving, and going into the shore house. Or coming out, getting in the line. They go up and down the line, then everyone go back on the horse. It's kind of comical when you see it, but it's very Americana.
Yeah.
It's and you see a lot of people there that we knew, Aunt Katie, Aunt Cecilia, John, Cecilia, Betty. Yeah. Our
Betty Walsh.
A lot of different people.
I have something in the den I'll bring out.
Okay.
Man's going to the den to grab something.
Yeah.
Here.
Sorry. I'll bring it up next time, Bert. We're going to, when you're up.
I'd
really
love to see it.
It's interesting to see it. These are your ancestors from New York and all over the place.
Really?
Yeah. So they bought that in 37, and it was a seminary.
Church,
it was a church where the
Sunday school
slept. There was three rooms up in the third on second floor.
Pink room, green room.
The green room and the pink room.
Yeah.
Bill slept in the pink
room.
You could only have gay sex in the pink room.
Is there any other kind?
But there was four double beds in each room.
Yeah.
And then Uncle Jim, Higg, used to sleep in the middle room with a double bed and a bathroom. And so he got no sleep.
Higg
would always have a stack of quarters and a carton of Winston cigarettes.
Higg smoked?
Oh, yeah. Higg was a very heavy smoker.
Really? I remember. Yeah.
Well, you know, when you're a diabetic, you got to do stuff to kind of...
I just remember going into his room and stealing candy.
Yeah, Winston's.
So what's this, Nan?
The girls would have you sign in.
Who?
The girls
would have you sign in when you came to the Shore House, and then they had an expense book.
Oh my God. This is the oldest paper in the world. And the handwriting is perfect.
Well, you know what?
That's Frances.
Frances won the penmanship award? She deserved it. Is it... These are... How much they... Wow. This is insane. Now,
That's an Excel. Here. The first Excel spreadsheet.
Nana, what's your favorite song? What's your favorite song?
My favorite song.
Into the mic if you could.
Oh, my favorite song. You don't want me to sing it.
No, you can sing it. I don't care.
Dad's favorite song.
Yeah, what was Doc's favorite song?
Bye Bye Blues.
Bye Bye Blues.
Bye Bye Blues.
When
all my cares and woes, here we go.
Bye, right.
That song. Bye, Blackbird.
Yeah.
What was your favorite song?
My favorite song.
Well, I remember as a little girl when all hell would break loose with the boys. My mother would turn around and say, in a really weird voice, and you knew to sort of start running for the hills. Did you ever know your mother could sing? And we'd all disperse.
Oh, getting to know you.
Getting
to know you. Getting to know all about you. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, I wish I could sing.
So, Leanne has been texting me all day to ask you what you think about the new Pope.
Pope? The new Pope?
Yeah.
Pope on a rope.
Pope Frank?
Yeah.
Oh, I think he's so cute.
Yeah.
No, I like him. I like him very much.
Yeah.
I do, yes.
Leanne's in love with him. She thinks he's great.
Yeah, he is. He's what we need right now.
Yeah, I think so.
He is, I like him. I like him very, very much.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to turn the tables on you.
Shoot.
What part of your daughter's DNA do you see in this room?
I see...
I think it's just Georgia. I don't think Isla's a part of this family at all. I don't understand. I don't know what something's wrong with Isla. We don't know what's wrong with her, but this kid is a lunatic, Nana, like bad. Like she's next level lunatic.
She is not.
She is she's an interesting child. She's I was a very very well-rounded child. I was very quiet. I was completely.
He was our first. We didn't know that that was weird. Georgia, we thought all children were like him.
Georgia is 100% Hobson in that she wants to grab the mic. She wants to be in front of everyone. She wants to be funny. Isla's very naturally funny, which it's not this family. It's
thank you.
No, Isla. Both of their senses of humor come directly out of this family. Leanne's family does not have a sense of humor at all. I shouldn't have said that out loud, maybe.
Yeah, you're really ahead of yourself.
Yeah. Let's go back to Nana, Mom. Come on. What is this called, the hot seat?
No, I think this is good. You know, Nana is Nana, and Nana has done it. She's done it all. So now these are the branches. So I think the branches should pick up.
You have done it all. If there's one thing you could do, one thing on your bucket list, like skydiving – jump off the stratosphere. Like, what would be one thing you'd love to do that you never got to do that you're like, God, you know, I always thought I would like that?
Oh, one thing that I would love to do would be able to be current with technology. And that I mean, I'm sorry I didn't get a computer when Jim Hobson was trying to talk me into a computer a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I said, no, Jim, I don't want to get involved. They're expensive, and it's something I don't need, but I do need it now.
I think that was a slot machine Jim was trying to get.
I really.
He was
do
trying
need
to bring
it.
Gambling to
well,
Pennsylvania.
Well, at least
with
a computer, you can't lose that, Mom.
Yeah, they stay. They're pretty.
you can still get
a computer, Nana.
Desktop.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'd be shocked. I think you'd be shocked if you started searching online what's out there.
Mm-hmm.
I think
Bert, you're talking to someone who said you're going to search online to something that's out there.
Yeah.
Okay. She has no idea what you're talking about. Okay.
Oh yeah, I guess not. does it make you happy that my mom's called Nana to our kids?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that, uh-huh. that they call my daughters call you Hen Nana,
yeah.
Nana Hen,
Nana Hen,
and Nana,
yeah.
and then they'll probably be called Nana because they're not going to be called Granny because they didn't grow up in the South.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just be Nanas. Anyone have any more questions? Anyone? Any of the cousins?
Are we Irish?
Oh yeah. What is our bloodline? Because that one time, I think were you drinking that night?
Was it me and Red wine?
You drinking, or was Nana was drinking vodka?
Nana was having juice.
Oh, you had juice. But what was we had a discrepancy on our heritage? the Hobson name is notoriously Irish, correct?
English.
English. So we're English.
No, mm-hmm. Our name's English, but our relatives are from Ireland.
Nana, is that accurate?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that didn't sound very definitive.
Well, Mom, we moved to Dorothy Kilgallen. Yes.
Where was Jim Higgins?
Oh, my
your
dad?
Father, your grandfather. Was he born in Ireland?
My grandfather. My grandfather would be Jim Kelly. Yes, he was born in Ireland.
He was born in Ireland.
Oh, yeah, the Kellys were all born in Ireland.
Jim Higgins' father?
Now, Jim Higgins' father, I don't know because I never knew them. And I don't remember him at all. And they were very quiet about, you know, they didn't tell their children much about their ancestors. So that I really don't know much about the Higginses.
Really?
Into the mic.
The same Kelly family that Nana is talking about, I think they served in the Civil War.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Really?
They did, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They were in the...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I got that sword.
It's not a Civil War sword.
I have a sword.
How did you get the sword?
There's
a sword that my mother has that was from your uncle who, now this obviously wasn't a Civil War sword. It was from Okay.
I don't know. I just have a sword.
Yeah. Well, you kept asking Nana about, hey, can I have that sword? And you were like 4 or 5, and you kept bugging her for it. And finally, Nana said, David, you can have. No, we said, Nana, we're just going to borrow it.
Oh, no. We said we were going to borrow it for like a school project.
Yeah.
Or
yeah. The sword.
It's a sword.
It's a sword.
Not the samurai.
Yeah.
One. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I thought they took that out of the house when I thought one of the builders.
No, we have
no.
It.
No, that's right.
He wasn't around then.
No.
He has
no,
the sword under his bed.
Is the pool table still downstairs?
Jimmy has the pool table.
Who's got the 22? Remember the 22?
Oh, the 22. Howard Bullock took care of that for us. Yeah. That wasn't worth anything, though.
Yeah, Nan, I'll take this off your hands. Into the mic.
Bert, one more. Yeah. Ask Nana about Mr. Puff.
Oh,
yeah. Who's Mr. Puff?
I shared that with
you. Oh, yeah.
This is a great
Mr.
story.
Puff. When
set the year, Mom. This context. This, year. This, what year are we talking about?
We're Valley Forge Club years. So that's...
late 50s?
What year was Jim born?
Jim was born in 58. I was born in 63.
Okay, 58. Well, this is 1958. There was a man that used to come into the club, and he died. And they were... He and his wife, they enjoyed the club.
Mr. Puff?
This was Mr. Puff. They enjoyed the club. And... but anyway, Mr. Puff got sick and he died. And so his wife had him cremated and she gave Dad his ashes. And she said, I want you to spray them over Valley Forge Park.
With the helicopter.
So, helicopter, yeah. So so they brought the ashes to the house on
Highfield.
At Highfield. So I put them in the kitchen closet.
What were they in?
They were in no, they weren't. They were like in a long box, a long metal box.
Long metal box.
And they were in the kitchen, some of the kitchen clubs.
Nana, if you're going to talk into the microphone, please. Okay, so they're in the box in the Fibber-McGee closet.
They're in the box,
What's the Fibber-McGee closet? I've heard Fibber-McGee my whole life. I don't know what that is.
Fibber-McGee closet is a closet where you put things when you don't know what to do with them.
Right, junk closet.
Mm-hmm.
From a radio show.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Fibber-McGee and Molly.
Into the mic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Google it.
Okay.
John, into the mic.
No, I have the mic. John, start getting them.
So, Nana, so we have the ashes.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Puff's in the box.
He's in the box. And
we kind of forget about it.
Gee, what did we do with them?
Oh, my God. We would go in there, and we would keep musical instruments in there and, like, some toys and stuff that you wanted to hide from your brothers. And so when you would go to retrieve something, and a friend would say, what's in that box? We'd say, that's Mr. Puff. And
but you never he never spread the ashes?
Well, if
he
you
forgot.
Throw ashes out of a... helicopter, they come back on you.
So
you have to throw them out of a plane, not
so
a helicopter.
She said, do that. And then Doc just went, yeah, sure, I'll do it. And then never did it.
Yeah, and Mr. Puff lived in our favorite gay closet.
Remains in a closet?
Yeah.
The closet where you kept miscellaneous.
Yeah.
The Fibber McGee closet where you kept a catcher's mitt,
uh-huh.
a hockey mask,
yeah.
and a dude.
Mr. Puff.
Who you knew personally.
Mr. Puff in a box.
You had a person in a closet.
Yeah.
You never thought to return the remains.
No, wait.
I loved him.
Bert. And when they tore the house down, and when we moved down here, Mom put him in here.
Mr. Puff's in there. There's no way Mr. Puff's in there.
Yeah, sure.
There's no way Mr. Puff's in there. You're kidding.
Sight.
Oh, God.
So, what happened to the ashes? Oh. How did we ever get rid of them?
Oh. What happened to Mr. Puff?
Peter and I took him and put him in the first sand trap.
Really?
You put him in the sand
trap? Mr. Puff,
so Mr. Puff will spend the rest of his life going, people will...
So the rest of eternity, Mr. Puff is greeted by someone looking at a ball that was a miss shot going, son of a bitch. Oh, I hate this. Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, I don't know if we're going to top Mr. Puff's story.
Well, I'm going to try. Since Joe Hobson isn't here, I'm going to fill in for Joe.
Okay.
One of my favorite Joe Hobson stories. The big deal about Highfield and the third floor, Bert, was you got to go to high school. I'm in the middle of the family. When you got to hit high school, you got to leave the second floor and go to the third floor. Third floor was a great gig because Mom never came up.
I remember it going to the third floor.
Third floor.
You there were high ceilings. The walls were painted by you guys.
Even after Dad left us, because I'm 16 when Dad went to heaven. So by the time I hit high school, I'm up there. But Joe was still in eighth grade. Joe wasn't allowed. Joe could only come up to shower. So if you saw the big room... The big room had like these built-in desks that Pop-Up built, and it would be
Pop-Up is
built
Doc.
Into it. Pop-Up's not my dad. My dad couldn't build this.
Oh.
This is my grandfather.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was really sturdy. It was like a built-in desk. Remember, John?
Yeah.
So you had a desk and then a built-in set of drawers. But if you're tall, small enough, you'd get dancing up there. You know.
Yeah.
So one time, Joe comes up to take a shower, and Mike and I are like. I was actually studying. I was an honor student at Malvern Prep. That's another story. But Mike is like pretending to study. You know, I don't know what Mike was doing. And I was actually studying. So Joe comes up. He takes a shower. And he comes in with a towel around it. And he starts doing a striptease. So Joe Bones is a little skinny guy. He's up there dancing away. Now he's butt naked. Dancing away. Now, Mom didn't come up too much. Normally, Dad, you know, he wouldn't come up too much either. Dad just comes up. He's looking in. He sees me and Mike sitting at a desk. He looks up. Yeah, sitting at a desk. He sees Joe up there wiggling his little booty. The doc doesn't say a word. He just leaves the room. That's a Joe Bones story.
It really happened.
No, no, no.
I'm going to post.
No, wait. When did he throw the shoe?
Oh, no, that's a different story. Joe was. This was pre cable. You had three stations, and you know, one black and white TV. We're watching TV in Dad's room, and Joe, what was he doing?
Remember that one? Sixers Celtics was it 1966? It was the year the Sixers should have won it, and they lost to the Celtics, and. Joe and Dad are watching it in Mom's and Dad's room, and apparently this is the one where Havlicek stole the ball, and this was the year the Wilt, we were going to win it. Finally, we were finally going to beat the Celtics, and I don't know what happened, and Joe got so pissed off, and like Dad went nuts on him, man. He started throwing wingtips at him. And
what? Why?
Because Joe lost his cool, man. He, you know, frustrated Philadelphia sports fan.
Mom.
There was one Sunday, and I'll let Mom tell it, but I'll set the stage for her. There's a Sunday. Mom goes to early mass. She tells her husband, Abe, get the kids ready for 9 o'clock, because that was the children's mass.
Everyone
went to the children's mass. Mm-hmm. And I'll get breakfast, and when you come back, we'll have breakfast. So, you know, this is when Dad's working up at the club. And he's coming in at like 4 o'clock in the morning. So he's out. So Mom goes to church. She comes back. Not only are we still in bed, but Doc is still in bed.
Mm-hmm.
So Mom has the major conniption. Take it, Mom.
In the mood.
In the mood.
Mom's in a bad
mood.
I'm in a bad mood.
Code
word. Go blue! Watch out. Mom's in a bad mood.
Mom's in a bad mood. Okay, I came in and actually Abe is snoring. Your father's snoring. He's snoring, and the boys. Oh, Joe, and in the golf course room, Joe and Bill, I think, are having a pillow fight.
Yeah.
And they were. And so I said, "What's going on here?" And I said, "Where's your father?" And they said, "Oh, Dad's asleep." I said, and I don't know whether Joe said to me, "Don't dare wake him up." So. I said, well, that's it. And I slammed my missile. At the time, I used to use a missile at mess. I slammed my missile on the table, and I said,
"That's a book. That's not like a fiery yeah. agent yeah. that just yeah. across the bow."
I slammed my missile on the table.
Like, although it's kind of a funny, you know, yeah. way you
I
say
said,
that. You know?
"That's the end of that." And I slammed that on the table, and I said, "I'm leaving." And Bill jumps up and said, "Oh no, Jim!" Bill got up out of the bed and went into Dad and woke him up and said, "Well, she's gone. You're going to have to get up and get breakfast."
Well, what she didn't see was she's down in the kitchen, and not only was the missile slammed down, but also there was this big black pot that we had that would do the pancakes. That went down. And I never saw my father raise his voice to his wife, but he got to the back steps. He goes, "Helen, that's enough. Take a walk." So she goes out. And she's walking down the driveway. She's walking down the driveway. She's walking down the driveway. And all of us, we're all bare-assed. We like got our yeah. underwear on. And we're all looking out the window at their in the main bedroom. And we're looking at Mom walking down the road. And this is where Joe says,
"Oh,
who's
Joe says
breakfast?" Joe. That's all that is. "Who's making breakfast?"
And then there was another time that Joe was dancing for the boys, and he was dancing with that clothes on, and
I think we just told this story.
And and I know Dad came in. Dad came in the room, and this one I don't remember too well.
I think two guys were studying at a desk.
And,
right?
Yeah.
I thought he had loafers on with nothing else on. Right. He put loafers on.
He had loafers on? Yeah.
And he was tap dancing on yeah. the on one of the desks.
And anyway, he came in.
Joe was a real piece of work.
And Joe started to cry. And I said, "Why are you crying?" And he said, "I just think I've committed adultery." So I said, "Why?" And he said, "Because I was dancing naked."
He thought that was adultery?
Do you remember the time that we went to... Wow.
Why is that not...
Masturbation. Like? Joe's a little kid, and the music to Hair comes out, and there's a verse in the song, "Masturbation can be fun," or something like that. Joe would always listen to music when he was a little kid. He had no idea what the words meant. And I think we had some of the Augustinians priests from Malvern having Sunday dinner with us. Joe comes in singing, "Masturbation can be fun."
But we went down to Beach Haven, and you sent us all to confession.
Oh, okay.
And so they're all lined up, and Hop goes in, G goes in. Of course, it was a short one when G went
yeah.
in. John goes in, Pete goes in, and all of a sudden you hear what you hear the priestess go, "You what?"
For Pete? Went in. For Pete?
Yeah. And
well, Pete went in first. Pete, we're sitting out there. You would go to confession. You'd line up, and yeah. so we're waiting. And so Pete would, he looked back and he says, we met these two girls on the beach. We're making out.
Yeah.
And like we're like 12, 13, yeah. out there.
Not eight or 10, Mom.
But we thought we were making out. I mean, you know, it was one of those things. So we're making, so Pete was, what's the sin for making out? I said, "I think it's adultery." So Pete goes walking down and that's what he heard. You heard the priest going, "What?" He goes, "That's not adultery, son. But you should, you know, keep yourself pure thoughts. Go over and say 5 Hail Marys." So then I go walking in, and I said, "Ah, bless me, Father, I've sinned. I committed adultery." He says, "Oh, so you're the older brother." I said, "Older brother to whom?" I didn't know that guy. But the best story, and it's a visual, and it's my mother's story. There was an old thing you would do to people back in the maybe the 20s or 30s, that was a sign of disrespect. And it wasn't flipping the bird, it was thumbing your nose.
Yeah.
It was thumbing your nose. So Mom had...
So basically put your thumb on your nose and then wave your fingers.
And you wave your fingers. Yeah. Mom had done that. Nana, her mom, our grandmother, said, "You have to go to confession." So, and I got this from Jim and Nana. And so Mom is in the confessional. Now, back in the 20s and 30s, the confessional was completely dark. I mean, you didn't see anything.
Yeah.
So mom goes in and says, bless me, Father, I've sinned. It's been 2 weeks since my last confession. I did this to my brother. And he says, I don't know what that is. You're going to have to come out. So she comes out of the confessional, opens the door, and goes like this to the priest. The nun is sitting up there and sees the holy. She goes, get out of here. She sees that the nun comes walking down. She puts her in front of the Blessed Mother and says, say a rosary here. Just thumb the nose of a priest, you know. But that's what she was doing. It was just a very honest mistake.
No, I do remember that.
In the mic, Nana. Oh. Sorry.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
I do.
When was the last time you went to confession?
What was it like when I went to confession?
No, when was the last time?
When was the last time?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it was just a month.
What do you about?
Bert, when was the last time you went to confession?
Well, listen,
Bert.
But I'm going to tell...
Mom, it's Bert went
last. Did they confess to you?
Bert, it's a very close-knit neighborhood. You got to be very careful here. You know?
When was the last time you went to confession?
When was the last time I went to...
yesterday. Yeah. Yesterday.
3 weeks ago. I confess all the time.
Bert, when he's on stage, he says he talks about his sins. So
no, listen, I'm going to tell you something, though. This is really honest.
Yes.
I listen to EWTN, you know, all the time.
What's that?
And that's
the religious channel.
The Catholic channel. And yesterday they were talking about confession, and this one priest said it can be very, very simple. Don't be afraid to go. All you have to do is walk in the box, say three words, and you'll get absolution. And the three words are, Father, I have no idea when the last time was I went to confession. I have no idea what sins I've committed, but I'm very, very sorry.
Okay.
You said you'll get absolution, and you, oh, here comes Piercy.
Oh, speaking of confession, someone who still goes.
I thought that was great, the way that priest said that.
Yeah.
Because people do. The longer you stay away, the longer you forget, you know.
I went to confession in the Vatican.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
oh,
confession
good.
In the Vatican.
Well, that's a great place to go.
I was backpacking through Europe, and I was in there for a while.
Yeah. Well, now was the priest? Could the priest?
They have different. I don't remember this entirely accurately, but I think they have different signs up for different languages.
Oh, okay.
So there's one in English, there's one in Spanish, there's one in French, there's one.
Yeah, because when I was in the Vatican, I wanted to go to confession, and Sister Judith said to me, "Oh, they won't hear your confession because it's it'll be in English."
Yeah.
But I, if
I'm not mistaken, they have them. When I went, they had them in every different language. I just drove through the Vatican recently.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, in a car at night at like 2 in the morning. We had been out all night, and it was beautiful. So one of the most beautiful things in the world. And I was with a Jewish girl.
Uh-huh.
And she was so impressed. And I was like, all you got to do is say you're sorry and come over to our side.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
No, well, Nana, this has been a great podcast. Thank you. Is there anything you want to talk about? You're talking to a bunch of people right now that have listened to all of this. They listen to all your stories. And the majority of them are men. Is there anything you want to say? You want to impart on all the listeners?
Oh no, I just want to say God bless all the men.
God bless.
I love them.
Thank you, Nana.
You're
I love
welcome.
You, Nana.
I love you too, Bert.
This episode was brought to you by The Machine.